Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back once again to Have You Got News For Me, the show where we give you the St. Andrews news. I'm joined by Dua Lipa currently, and also Archie Murr. Archie, welcome.
What an honor. What an honor.
It's great to have you here with us today, in spite of your, you know, many, many impediments, you know, your Irishness and your just general character. Seems wow, harsh. Archie, God. How are you doing today? This feels like a quite a intense music to get us going, but
it does. It's yeah. get me hyped.
Yeah,
I'm doing all right, thank you. I'm feeling a bit, feeling a bit like a fish supper, to be honest.
Really?
A bit battered.
Oh, battered. It's very good.
After that, rugby tournament.
Oh yeah,
on Saturday.
Honestly, you must
sevens.
Be like an egg, you know, fried.
Yeah.
Fried egg.
Let's go with that. It was actually on Saturday, not Friday.
Like, oh, he's absolutely, he's turned me inside and out, and he's made me a meal.
Wow.
An oatmeal. Okay. How was you? You've come off some athletic, and you listen to the show will know that we're very athletic, but you've come off some athletic glory,
well,
one could say.
I don't know if I would describe it to that extent, to be honest. We did sadly lose all three games, but it was okay. It was good fun. The last game was a heartbreaker. We should have won that last game.
What was the score?
I think
before
I thought it was 5-4. I don't know what conversions they got and stuff, but apparently it might have only been 4-4, but they got a few more. But they scored right at the end.
Oh, gutting. That is heartbreaking. I mean, are you proud of how you played individually?
Yeah, I think, well, the first game we played against Aberdeen Ones, we were always going to get stuffed by them.
Yeah.
But we put in a good shift against them. Second game, wasn't happy with my performance in the second game.
Hmm.
I stayed on the wing for too much. Third game, I was like, do you know what? I'm gonna try to get involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think as a team we can be proud. We nearly got our first win in 3 years.
Mm.
Nearly. If we had you there, we would have.
Yeah.
You would have taken us over the line 100%.
I also feel your mic may have just been off for that entire bit because I'm now hearing you in my headphones. But that was Archie talking about
there
his
we go.
rugby prowess this weekend.
Oh yeah, my mum's just texted me saying he can't.
That is unfortunate. Yeah, no, if you leave it there, it should be good.
Apologies about that.
One exciting thing coming up, we were just talking about tonight, is the Carnegie Club in St. Andrews, mm-hmm. the kind of debating society, is combining with one of your own, Archie, your very own St. Mary's College Society.
That's it.
For
yeah.
An interesting kind of debate and conversation with Alex O'Connor. Some viewers may know him as Cosmic Skeptic. I know him as a cool guy. He's in St. Andrews, so I'm hoping to catch a sighting of him and
fingers
go
crossed.
To this tonight. It's an interesting question. Amongst my flat, though, we have been kind of talking about what this question actually means, because it's worded in an interesting way, and I'll read it to you here. And you may have it in front of you. The question that they're going to be discussing is, does the Bible mean something it hasn't historically?
Ooh.
Now, in my mind, there's kind of two meanings of that.
Mm.
There's the kind of, does the Bible mean something within the culture now? The Bible as a kind of text that it hasn't historically, you know, are people reading it in a different way and viewing it
mm-hmm.
as a kind of cultural artifact or whatever. But the second one, and that seems to be the most obvious one, but the second one could be, like, does the Bible hold meaning that is divorced from any kind of necessary historical grounding or truth in the sense that, like, you know, you can glean meaning from books of the Bible that maybe didn't necessarily happen. But that seems to be probably more obviously the case. So I feel like it's probably the former.
I don't know. I think it'll be a mixture.
Mm.
I think the first question's pretty good as well. I think you can...
I think that's what they mean, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think... Wait, is that what you mean by the former?
Yeah.
Ah, right. So I always get... That's always a confusing
phrase.
Yeah,
no, honestly, genuinely.
The former
same.
And the latter
yeah,
is always a confusing. No, I feel like it is. I feel like it's got taken on new... I feel like it's getting increasingly popular amongst, like, young men, I would say, like, surprisingly. Because I think it kind of fits in with this whole culture of like self-improvement and kind of that whole trend we're seeing at the minute, I feel.
And honestly, like, you know, conservatives on the right, I feel like, you know, people like Jordan Peterson who are now using, you know, kind of invoking the Bible and its kind of mythology and its some archetypes and stories and stuff that kind of resonate maybe with, he's maybe making it in even though it's very kind of maybe complicated or very abstract in the terms that he puts it in, it does make it in some ways palatable for people who aren't into this, as into the spiritual things and are more into the kind of, the story and the narratives they can identify with and kind of
yeah,
but it'll be interesting. Free entry as well.
It'll be good.
It's very exciting.
That's in.
I know that he normally comes into Taste. Alex O'Connor, so I'm hoping to maybe capture.
Has Tom made him a coffee before?
I think so. Really? I think my flatmate is currently working right now in Taste, so maybe they are having a conversation as we speak.
Wow.
Which actually, I'm going to turn my phone on just in case, because then I'll run. No, I don't. But.
What do you think his coffee order is?
Oh, it's a good. You know, I would say it's a. I don't know. Oh, I reckon it's a coffee, a latte with whole e milk.
Very good.
No, that was terrible. What do you think?
I don't know how to top that.
Well, you've been here before. Coffee.
Hey, yeah. That's good. Yeah.
I'm not going to grind that to death.
I was going to make the grind
joke. I have no filter. I apologize.
You're just a machine.
Oh.
Yes. Got one in.
Well, there we go. Well, yeah, that was something. That was something there.
I was maybe a wee bit latte with that one.
Yes. Okay, I see. Yes. Yeah. Well, man, I'm angry about that. I'm just going to vent. Hey. Okay, that one I kind of shoehorned in. I think the first story it would be fun to talk about today is something that's happened this weekend. Very excited. The St. Andrews International Film Festival.
Oh, yes.
SANS 25 just happened for its fourth year in a row in the Bio Theatre. And this article is calling it a milestone year for SANS as they welcome back Joe Russo and national treasure Joanna Lumley, who came for the first time, which was very, very exciting.
Hello.
There we go, yeah. Just making sure you're on.
Forgot I shouldn't be touching that.
No. Wait, actually, I think you might be off it again.
No.
Wait, speak again.
Hello.
There we go. Hello. Okay, yeah.
We're back. I'm leaving it. I'm not touching it.
it was some great screenings, though, and I had the privilege of being able to volunteer. Did you see any things? Or not really?
I didn't, no.
Oh, you may have gone again, actually.
Hello.
There we go. Okay.
Just sit still.
Yeah, it was very interesting.
Did you meet? You met Joanna Lumley?
I was in the same vicinity as her.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
But I only got to catch the last 20 minutes of her talk on a screen, so I was technically meant to be volunteering, but they let us watch it. But she was really funny, very affable, very personable. Yeah. I didn't really know too much about her. I mean, I knew who she was, but I suppose I feel like she's maybe a generation removed.
Was it a film that she was in that was screening?
I think she just came. I'm not actually sure. I think she just came to give like a. Talk about her career and advice and all that and that kind of thing. So I think she just came as like a kind of personality within the UK.
Interesting.
But there was Frank E. Flowers who came.
Frank E.
And spoke. He's
Is
got
that
a new
Frankie or Frank.
Frank and then Space E. Yeah. And there was a couple other filmmakers, but there's some great films. Yeah. One of them was there. I think your thing's gone again. So one of them was there.
Hello.
There we go. Yeah. One of them is there, but yeah, it was good.
Or Steve, a sound engineer, when you
know. I know, Steve McDonald, what a guy. He's really just,
I should maybe check my emails from him to see if I've got any.
Yeah.
That would be quite funny.
Yeah. That'd be quite creepy. That's the start of a horror film, that is.
It really would be.
Getting emailed by yourself is crazy, but, it was good. And we had, some like music supervisors. There was people from the industry talking all about, kind of, their careers and how to break into the industry, which was great. I think my favorite film, honestly, was Holy Cow. It was a coming-of-age story about this guy in France whose dad dies. He's got a little sister, and he's, like, trying to win a cheese-making competition to get enough money. And it's, like, it was kind of interesting and very, like, quirky and kind of interesting.
That sounds quite fun.
But, yeah. Next year, you should check it out, guys. Sounds.
Was it at the Byer?
Yeah.
At the Byer. Yeah. That great spot.
Yeah. Brilliant. Might even be going after this, potentially.
I could be keen.
Might be on the cards. Archie, have you got any news for us this week? I fear you have something incredible.
Well, fear no more.
Here we go.
Because I don't.
Oh.
No, I do.
Oh,
I do. I'm terrified. This news has been sent in by our good friend and potential listener, Dylan McCauley.
Oh, Dylan. Love to see.
Nice guy. Nice guy.
Heard great things.
Yeah, don't know from who. But listeners of the show might be aware we don't shy away from the controversial issues on this show. We embrace them.
Brexit, abortion, and
all of it. And chocolate digestives.
Oh, the worst of all.
I know.
This is gonna divide people.
So Dylan, who is my flatmate, he is very adamant that he has got the right way of eating chocolate digestives, which is chocolate side down. So you have the biscuit at the top.
No.
Chocolate side. He makes a whole argument where it connects with your tongue first.
Yeah.
And it's got the taste buds. To me, I think that's very wrong.
So you kind of foreground the chocolate in the bite.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's interesting because he's privileging the chocolate over the biscuit, whereas
it must be, yeah.
I don't know if that's necessarily the case.
No, interesting. That's not a necessity. But sadly, the boss of the biscuit factory where McVitie's chocolate digestives been made does agree with Dylan.
They do. Oh no, I thought you were going to humble him. No, interesting.
Sadly not. He reckons people have been eating them incorrectly, which is...
But pardon me from a practical perspective, though, if you hold it from the bottom, the chocolate will melt on your hand.
I agree.
I don't know.
Practical.
I think we do need some digestives to try this out. I don't know.
Yeah, we probably should try some.
That seems on the bottom. I guess your tongue kind of, you can kind of like get a bit of chocolatey taste going into the biscuit. But it maybe means the top's quite dry then. And that's the kind of less moist part of your mouth, the roof. Whereas if you eat with the chocolate on the top and you have biscuit first, it gives your mouth more time to kind of break down the biscuit and then the chocolate, which will then kind of become part of the whole.
I think you could be on to something.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, this is a man, Anthony Coulson, who is the general manager of the chocolate company's refinery and bakery in Stockport, says before he went in, he was always eat it like a normal person kind of thing. But apparently one of the first things he learned when he got there was that you have to eat the chocolate side down.
Wow, he left the Matrix. Came enlightened.
He really did.
Does that mean... I mean, what other biscuits are we eating wrong? It's my question now. I mean, that's
Jaffa
changed.
Cakes.
Does that mean, everything where there's a kind of...
Because you would always eat Jaffa Cakes with the chocolate at the top.
Yeah.
That would be wrong.
You would just imagine if you... I think, if you took it, you'd have to take it, turn it over, and then eat it. And people would be like... Because otherwise, then... I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. I really feel like I need to have some.
I think we're eating
first-hand
cream
experience
the wrong way.
You're meant to grind them up in a pestle and mortar. What's it called? A pestle? Pestle?
Pestle? Pestle and mortar?
Pestle sounds about right.
Yeah, it's a wee bowl thing.
A mortar and pestle.
Mortar and pestle. There we go.
Interesting. Did you bring up the CEO guy while you were talking to Dylan so he was vindicated within the conversation?
No, he actually sent this article.
Oh, interesting. He's done his own recon.
We've had many a discussion about this in our time.
Has it been quite divisive?
It has been quite divisive. Well, it's not really because everyone's just accepted Dylan's wrong and everyone else is right. Mm. But sadly, he sent me this last week. And it would appear that he might be in the right, but I'm not going to admit that. I'm going to persist in doing the wrong way, and despite this evidence, insist that he is still wrong. So,
well, unfortunately, Dylan, we don't believe in facts here.
No, we don't. It's all fake news.
Interesting. That's it. Thank you for bringing that debate. I hope we have listeners who can tell us their thoughts. I'd love to hear what the wider public thinks of this, the many who do listen. Archie, I want to bring us to a kind of historical story, and you might be aware of what I'm talking about here. This has been a kind of ongoing story really since the inception of this show. I think this is one of the kind of first big stories that we covered within the kind of newsroom of Have You Got News From Me? And it was, of course, about the kind of St. Andrew's Pier.
Oh, yes.
Now, long-time listeners will know, or residents of St. Andrew's will know, that the last couple of years, the pier has sustained some kind of considerable damage from Storm Babette, or Babe, which struck in November of 2023. And it was kind of out of action for a long time. Well, after raising lots of money and doing lots of work, and we've charted this throughout the show, the kind of restoration process of the pier. The St. Andrew's Pier is to finally reopen.
Wow.
Tomorrow.
Wow.
With the iconic Gaudi torchlit procession.
There we go.
That's so exciting. You know, it's the medieval structure has been closed. As I said, since I guess October, actually, apparently this says 2023. After the storm caused £3 million of damage.
That's crazy.
But after months of repairs, students in their gowns will be able to take part in the annual torchlit parade along the pier, which is nice because I think for some people, if you're in first year or second year, you'll never have done it, and it's quite a rite of passage.
Because the one last year just went along the beach, didn't it?
Yeah, I think
so. I remember.
Are you going to do it this year, Dink? Or
might you know? Yeah. I might.
The Gaudi procession commemorates a student who rescued the crew of a stricken vessel in 1800. I believe his name was John Honey or something, right?
I think you could be right.
And this year, a piper will lead the students beginning at 7:30. So
that's exciting.
That's very exciting. I apparently, though, it still needs £2 million of repairs, though.
Of course it does.
But there's been a major fundraising drive, and the repairs are kind of constantly ongoing, so hopefully that'll be resolved. But
so we're walking on a pier that is still £2 million.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Torches of fire and very flammable red goins.
I think it will be fine. We got hope.
Yeah.
I mean, the bulk of the repairs apparently were funded so far by the Scottish government, which gave them £360,000 in a grant. And there were also donations from the university, the students, and alumni, which handed over 20,000, which is nice.
Wow!
And the public donated 18,700 through online fundraisers, but another 2 million is needed. So what? That doesn't really add up to 1 million, though.
Does it?
Grant applications have been submitted, though. But it's thought there will be a £500,000 shortfall. So I guess it's not over yet. I maybe hyped this up a bit much. But this is good.
We've still got news to talk about
that. Yeah, and it's open. That means it's being able to be used. I wonder if it'll be open to the public, though, following the Gaudi, or if that's like maybe a one-time thing.
It seems that here it says it'll be open to the public the following morning.
Oh, brilliant.
So it's like we'll get first use of it.
That'd be fun as well, because we can like jump off the pier again. That's so much
fun.
Yeah,
yeah.
That'd be great.
Fair play.
Well,
in the red gowns.
In the red, yeah.
That would
be an interesting thing.
There you go.
Archie, what other news have you got for us? Something spicy.
Well, we've been following this this story of this site quite near to us, with the Poets Nuke. They want to do something with the Mary Queen of Scots. They want to turn it into a poetry garden.
Mm.
Other people want to turn it into a wee coffee thing. But we have the latest development in this.
Oh, yeah.
And this is that the landowner fails in the legal challenge against the forced sale of the St. Andrew's site.
Well, there we go.
I haven't read the article, but we can follow it along.
Here we go. This is on the Courier.
So the fourth.
Oh, it's premium content. The fourth day.
Don't know how you pronounce that. Limited employee trust instructed solicitors after was ordered to sell. So the Poets have won.
Oh.
They have won. It's
art wins.
Art has won. So the people who own it at the minute, they have been forced to sell it. The trust accused The trust who own it, the Forte Limited Employee Trust, they've accused the Scottish Government of apparent bias towards a community group called the Poets Nuke. So they compelled them to sell this piece of land in 2016. Flip me. This has been going on for a while. No, sorry, 2023. That's when the Land Reform Act came in.
Hmm.
So that's why you always could do your research.
Well, that's right. Research before the show.
In their decision, the minister cited legislation which states that land can be bought by a community organisation via compulsory purchase if it is likely to further sustainable development and is in the public interest.
Oh.
So the Poets Nuke site, they say this site currently is an eyesore. So they want to turn it into a nice garden. And it looks like that's happening because at the minute it's full of antisocial behaviour, apparently. We mentioned it was a toilet last week. I don't know if there actually is a toilet there, whether it is just one of those temporary toilets,
yeah.
Some would call a hedge. But yep, there we go.
It's very exciting. Well, it's a great development for the art. Was there any comments on the post, spicing it up a little bit, or
sadly not
giving us a bit of thing?
Sadly not.
Interesting.
But yes, people aren't happy. The people, obviously, whose land it is, aren't happy. They are, quote, not satisfied that the decision of the ministers has fallen seriously short of the standard required. The appellant's appeal on this ground is therefore unsuccessful. I'm now realising that's not the landowner she said that, but rather the sheriff who's reporting on the thing. But there we go.
Brilliant. Well,
that was an ordeal.
I mean, I guess pivoting from another land dispute is a kind of another story about buildings and standards, because viewers will know our love and affinity for Lidl, especially particularly the Lidl bakery. I think we've given a lot of praise recently, and I remember a few months ago we lamented the lack of Lidl in St Andrews.
No way.
And we spoke about, you know, what it'd be like to have a Lidl on Market Street with a Lidl bakery. Well, let me tell you,
what
that Lidl reveals. The places in Fife it wants to move into, and St Andrews is on that list, which means it doesn't have a necessarily kind of compound, set in stone plan, but on a list of 52 Scottish locations, St Andrews is on one of them. It's their wish list for future expansion, because it plans to open 40 new stores across the UK during this financial year. So it's exciting. It could be on the rise. It's on the rise. I also just found out it's a German supermarket. I didn't know that.
Did you not know that?
No, it's... Yeah. So that's exciting.
That's very exciting. It'd be great if
maybe by the end of fourth year, I don't know.
It'd be great if they got a Lidl in Market Street.
Oh, it'd be brilliant.
Can you imagine?
Although, I don't know where they put it in St Andrews.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's a big turnover of like coffee shops and stuff, but in terms
it has
of
to
like
be big,
big
though,
units,
yeah, you'd need like it probably have to be near like Morrison's, but like,
yeah,
maybe anything.
You'd almost have to build a new site,
yeah, or maybe where Kilmarnock Road is, maybe somewhere like that,
yeah, maybe
where it's like there's that big piece of land,
in the big space place, yeah, put a little in there, definitely, yeah, yeah, why not just take away a few of the
smack
accommodation,
a in there, yeah.
You know. Stick a little in there.
Stick a little in there.
Nothing wrong with that.
A little. Not big deal. It's a little bit little.
You don't get... I know the way you get like wee Tesco Expresses, Sainsbury's local. You don't get a little version of that, do you?
A little local.
Little.
No. Yeah, you know, we should... Yeah.
You should get a little.
Yeah, a little never hurt anyone.
Maybe we should start that.
Yeah.
And it's exclusively just the bakery and the middle aisles. Bakery, middle aisles... Maybe half an aisle for like general, you know, bread, milk, all that kind of stuff. But it would be exclusively focused on the bakery.
I think bakery in town and then everything else outside.
Yeah.
Because realistically, I honestly think that if they just had a little bakery in town, it would do very, very well.
Do you know what? I think you'd be right.
Like, who's going there our age for anything but Little Bakery?
Yeah. Yeah, this is true.
But I suppose it's then, actually, if they're in the Little wanting a bakery, they'll probably buy other stuff if they're already there, so maybe.
But it could be nice. I think we should email Mr. Little and tell him we've got a good idea.
Yeah.
I think people will go. I think we do suffer from a lack of bakeries.
We suffer from a lot of things in St. Andrews. A lack of bakeries up there.
You got Fisher and Donaldson.
But it's like, I don't always want like an 8-pound donut. You know, sometimes I just want a good, greasy, cheap, dirty, unhygienic, disgraceful, evil little donut. Do you know what I mean? It's just like something chill.
Yeah. I mean, you've got the Tesco's and Sainsbury's, but that's kind of it.
Yeah. They're
not really any exclusively kind of. I don't know. You kind of want a bakery that's not high end, but also a bit more high end than like the likes of Greg's.
Yeah.
Maybe we should start one.
Hey.
You never know.
Yeah.
This could be a business venture.
Should we take a little break?
That sounds good.
I'll be back in a second. This is Olivia Dean Echo I just found on here. It's a nice song. So enjoy this, guys, and we'll be back in a sec.
I took 5 on the way home, called you for a little peace of mind. Was out looking for some healing, but it seemed a little hard to find. No man's an island, do you not see that I need you as you need me? A year, month, any weekend is no match for my loyalty. Sweet, jump into your defense. Question, would you do the same for me? They say distance can make the heart grow fonder, but for you I wonder, cause if I'm not by your side, are you still on mine? I was on the way down, I've been on my knees this whole week, so when I need. To move a mountain, just take a little weight off me. Fix up and be about it, cause my love is not a one-way street. They say distance can make the heart grow fonder, but for you I wonder, cause if I'm not by your side, are you still?
Olivia Dean, and we're back. Welcome back. We're back with another bang of a story from Archie. Archie, lay it on us. What have you got for us?
Yes, we are. So
I think Mario might be dead.
Oh dear, not again. Hello, hello, there hello. There we go. He's back. We back. The money for this should be going towards getting me a new mic, but
yeah,
we'll say nothing. But plans have been lodged for a $16 million retail and business development in St Andrews.
Goodness gracious.
Maybe we will get the Lidl after all. This planning application has been lodged by West Coast Estates, and it will include restaurants, offices, and business units in the west of St Andrews. So they're basically looking to build a big unit, essentially, in Craigtown, somewhere near the country park. It's just... Which, I don't know how I feel about that, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's an exciting development, but Craigtown's like a very nice... The park, anyway, it's a nice, like, green area.
Where is it? How far away from St Andrews is it, did you say? Like, is it in Morrison's?
It's further than that. Craigtown's about 4K from here.
Okay.
Where the park is, anyway. It'll be accessed off the Craigtown Road. So, yeah, it'll just be a bit further than Morrison's.
Mm.
Like, maybe a kilometre away.
Wait, what are they building inside?
Restaurants, offices, and business units.
Okay.
And homes as well. Homes as well. And there's going to they're going to create a 42-acre site.
First off, for anything in particular, or just a site for?
For that, I presume.
That's very exciting.
Creating 100 jobs created during construction, 170 jobs in the thing, which is...
It's not bad, you know. That's the economy, eh? Money.
Yeah, that's
money
it.
Talks. Money walks.
All right, Neil Diamond over here.
Yeah. Is that a song? Money, get away. No, we won't.
I'm thinking Forever in Blue Jeans.
Forever in Blue Jeans.
Wow.
Forever in blue jeans.
That's,
it's like a guy who loves his blue jeans.
You may want to mute the microphone.
I'm forever in blue jeans.
The voice
of an angel.
Yeah,
who's good. Been taken to hell, but has been held in the heaven only part. But who is bad at singing?
You.
Thanks. Brilliant. Well,
that was a statement, right?
Yeah, it was a statement. But you know, that's very exciting. I've been speaking of heaven, this is maybe a bit of a morbid transition here, but I just seen an article about how Pope Francis.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry, I'm not trying to disrespect this. I've actually seen an interesting article about how Pope Francis always wanted to visit Scotland and its islands, but never could. You know, a professor at the School of Divinity in St Andrews said Pope Francis had hoped to attend the signing of the St Andrews Declaration of a Shared Humanity in 2016, and had also voiced a private desire to visit some Scottish islands. He always wanted to visit Scotland, but was able to do so because of bureaucracy and security concerns, apparently. So that's sad. And organisers of the declaration event spoke to the Scottish government and Catholic officials in Scotland. However, the visit never took place. It's very sad. It's
like
very
as long
sad.
As he
never...
didn't go into certain areas of Glasgow. He would have been.
Yeah,
right.
He would have been fine. I think so. If you just stayed on the three main streets, you know.
I mean, we went to Ireland a couple of times before. Yeah. Although, to be fair, it's a lot.
I mean, how much is there? Just tons and tons and tons of security, basically, wherever he goes.
There must be. Yeah.
Like, if he wants to go somewhere, they got to plan it like way in advance.
Yeah, I would say so. Well, they got the Pope Mobile thing. That's always an amusing thing.
Yeah.
Is that when he like drives around the.
Yeah.
Drives around in the car.
I remember when the Pope, I think it wasn't Francis, but it was one before. It was one before, came when I was a kid in Edinburgh, and I saw him. Well, I saw
really?
A black car drive past, and we waited there for ages.
Mm.
When did Pope Francis come up? 2013, right?
Yeah, sometime around.
Yeah, maybe then. No, maybe it was him then, or maybe it was the one before him.
I thought he never went to Scotland.
Oh, true. No, it would have been the one. Yeah, it would have been.
Point to that article.
No, it would have been the one before him, actually. Yeah, wait. Yeah, that's a good idea. It would have been.
Was he Benedict?
Yeah, Benedict the what was that? 16th?
Cumberbatch, I think.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Yeah.
A little pop culture reference for you guys who enjoy a kind of moving image or a picture every so often. Yeah, I mean, it's sad. It's I appreciate how he always wanted to come though.
Who was the professor?
It was the professor of divinity. Why have I lost? Oh, here we are. The professor of divinity, Mario Oglier.
Ah, yes, yes. I don't know him, but I know what he teaches.
What does he teach?
World religions.
Oh, well, there you go.
I think Christian Buddhist dialogue, I think he does that as well.
Okay.
So, there we go. Big shout out to Mario. I'm not going to try and do the surname.
Archie, have you got another little piece of something, a crumb for us to feast on with our little mousy mouths? A crumb of news for us to kind of cultivate?
That's... Keep that going.
A sort of little peckering, a smattering of content for us to consume.
Find something.
Here we go. A diamond in the rough, a needle in a haystack. Here he is, Archie Murr with the news. 3, 2, 1, bingo.
There you go. This one. Oh, okay. Well, it's a few months late. This news, admittedly.
So it's history, really, at this point. But
that's a lovely segue because actually. It's a historic manuscript.
Oh, brilliant.
Which is now available to the public for the first time in 500 years.
Wow.
And this is one of the most important histories of Scotland, which sheds new light on William Wallace and the Stone of Destiny.
Aye.
Has found its permanent home in St Andrews and is now available to the public for the first time in 500 years.
Did you say William Wallace and the Stone of Destiny?
Yeah.
That is surely an Indiana Jones, like Scottish
it like
hybrid.
It, doesn't it?
That'd be a great film.
Well, you can go and read about it now.
What is the Stone of Destiny?
That's a great question.
What else is there in the article? The Stone of Destiny is a historically significant artifact used in the coronation of Scotland and later British monarchs, or Scottish and later British monarchs. It was taken from Scotland by Edward I of England in 1296 and became part of the coronation chair in Westminster Abbey. While it has been a part of British congregations, or coronations rather, it was returned to Scotland in 1996 and currently resides in Edinburgh Castle. Ooh.
Not anymore.
Oh, well.
It's in St Andrews now.
Oh, really?
It is in St Andrews now.
Wow, it literally just looks like a stone.
Yeah, it's a manuscript, apparently. Wait, the stone... No, sorry, the Stone of Destiny is probably in Edinburgh.
Yeah,
But the manuscript about it,
I presume. See.
It's what's in St Andrews, which is about the history and origins... So it's a hard word to say. Origins of Scotland.
Oranges.
Probably a lot of orange.
Yeah.
In the history of Scotland.
A lot of orange in the history of America as well.
That's a bit of... No, not going to...
Here he comes. No, 3, no. 2,
a lot of oranges. I need to warm up.
You got the blood flowing.
I can do the hands, but
yeah, no,
obviously
you're doing something. It's quite a visual impression, isn't it?
John Mayer taught at our university.
Did he?
No, sorry, I'm reading it.
John Mayer.
John Mayer, as in M-E-A-R. I'm just reading this article.
John Mayer, the guitar player, such a great guy, great music.
In the 1520s.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's very exciting.
It was also this manuscript owned by John Lindsay of Balcarres. There you go.
Wow.
Where is it being housed at the minute? In the Wardlaw Museum.
Oh,
that's
bizarre.
Where it is. Sean Rippington, great name, said the digital version. Oh, there's a digital version as well.
A QR code you can scan or something. Yeah,
yep. Opens it up online. For being read and researched, not being observed from afar. Wow. What
brilliant.
A great quote that is from Sean Rippington.
Thank you, Mr. Rippington.
There you go.
This next thing I want to talk about is slightly maybe traumatic for some viewers, so I apologize if this kind of cuts too close to home. But it's time, of course, to do our Florida Man for the week. And this is the part of the show where we kind of cast our eyes to Florida and wonder what people have been up to on this date. This comes from April 29th, 2024. And this is an incident whereby a Florida man threw pasta at a driver during a road rage incident. During a road rage incident, a Florida man drove through pasta. Yes, in St. Petersburg, Florida, a Florida man has been charged with throwing pasta with sauce. Another driver during road. Yeah, they didn't just say pasta; they said throwing pasta with sauce. Wow. So, I mean, this wasn't just any dry offense. This was liquid. This was a kind of liquid transgression. Salt. The incident happened last Thursday night, a year ago, in Pinellas County. Nolan Goines, Nolan Goines is charged with battery. According to the arrest report, the road rage incident started over glaring headlights. I mean, it would have been even funnier if he'd thrown fish and chips, because then he would have got battery.
Hey.
So, there we go. A little callback there. But the report states that Goines threw the pasta with sauce. Once again, with the sauce.
That's very important that we have to
emphasize. Yeah, it's clinical, because you're picturing someone, okay, you know, throwing pasta at someone with no sauce. Okay, that's fine. You just, you know, your clothes are fine. You know, it doesn't really matter. With sauce, it's changed the whole thing. I mean, now you've got stains in the clothes. Ruin the leather of your car if it's got leather.
That's not good.
He threw the pasta with sauce from the passenger seat of his vehicle, striking the driver through his open window. So I suppose enjoying some pasta? Yeah, the pasta hit the victim in his arm, legs, and torso, but he was not injured. Oh, thankfully. Oh, gosh.
That would be very al dente pasta.
And do you know what they did? They said the pasta hit the victim with his arm, legs, and torso, and then it did dot, 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 and then you had to scroll down really far, and then it said, but he was not injured, because... You know, clearly,
that's good. Leaves you in suspense.
Yeah, after the first part, you really thought he might have been. Goines was found with food stains on his sleeve. So, I mean, caught red-handed. They're really making a meal of this, aren't they? This is.
Spaghetti crime.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, it was. You know, they really the writers really pen-aid this on paper, But I don't like to, you know, I don't think his friend ratted him out. He said, "I don't like to tell lies," so he decided to kind of I don't know any more pasta. Yeah, it's interesting though. This guy, he's been charged with battery for throwing pasta. I mean, I feel like in the UK you would just get off with a kind of a warning, really. And people in the UK wouldn't want to sacrifice their food like that.
Yeah, I would thank you someone threw past it.
I'd be licking my lips and I'd say, like, come on, this is with sauce. Give me more sauce.
Come on, bring the extra sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a movie made about that recently.
Sauce.
I think. No, about pasta.
With sauce.
Throwing pasta. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What was it called?
I think it was Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Oh, yeah, it was good.
I don't know where it was going.
Well, you know, it's a spaghetti western, isn't it?
So. Well, hey, there we go. Yeah. There we go. You've recovered that one.
Pasta the Furious.
That's good. Pasta la Vista. Pasta Parcel.
Pasta Lives. It's a new rom-com in Korea. I don't know. I don't know. It's...
Ratatouille.
Ah, very good. Yes. You know, it's Ozark.
I had Orzo last night for the first time. Yeah,
the little ones.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I quite liked it. I was a big fan.
Yeah, yeah. Feels like you can just inhale it though, because there's so much. I could just swallow it without even chewing.
It's good at absorbing all the sauce.
Yeah,
which is quite good.
What did you have with tomato sauce?
Yeah. Yeah,
but chicken.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Did you make that for yourself, or was it?
I had a youth dinner.
Oh, nice.
Last night to
you had teenagers.
No, the leaders. Sorry.
Oh, nice.
We wouldn't be giving them. I mean, that's top quality ingredients.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Very fine. How many were there of you?
There was five of us.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
And nice.
Did you throw a pasta at anyone with sauce?
I did, actually, yeah. I got very annoyed. Yeah, what?
That's what the handcuff marks are on your wrist. Okay.
Yeah, that's definitely...
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, yeah. What instigated this...
Sure, I'm not listening to this. Stop.
What instigated this this pasta... Pasta throwing.
I think it was just a kind of a road rage incident, they said. I really can't say that without sounding like the guy from Looney Tunes. It was a road rage incident. A Yeah, I can't even imagine what would have transpired to lead to that. But
it's a random thing. You know, you think you would just, you know, flip them off or just sort of shout at them a bit. But that's he's really putting his body and soul and his past and all those things into this.
Yeah.
Into dealing with this road rage.
Archie, have you got a final... a final crumb to give us, because we're coming near the end of our show, and we'll be honest, guys, it's been a slow news week. Once again, it's almost like the present premise for this show is somewhat under attack by the lack of goings on in the town, but no, of course not. Archie's got something for us right now. It's gonna be big, it's gonna be crazy. Archie,
I can tell you, 8 new shops and restaurants that could be set to open in the Dunfermline area. they might not, but they
don't even spend any longer.
In theory, okay. Number one, Home Bargains.
Okay, now we can't do this.
Number two, Wickes in Dunfermline.
Okay, okay.
Number three, Lidl in Dunfermline.
Oh.
Number four, another Lidl, but in Rosyth.
Oh.
Very exciting. Number five, a bit of a weird one, Cushy's Indian Restaurant.
Oh.
Also in Dunfermline. Number six, Boofy World Buffet. That's a great name. Boofy World Buffet Restaurant in Dunfermline. Starbucks in Dalgety Bay and a B&M in Dalgety Bay. So there we go. 8 new shops that could open if you're in the Dunfermline area. They might not. They could have just been plucked from anywhere. But there we go. I would personally be most excited about the Boofy one.
Mm.
They offer a wide range of Indian, Italian, Chinese, and grilled meat grilled meat dishes, along with desserts. There we go. Very exciting.
That's very exciting. Very exciting. You know, the world is full of possibilities, and that's one thing I love about life.
Mm. That's profound.
Well,
have you got any last
last thoughts? I think, you know, it's been a lovely weather today.
Yeah.
It's one thing that's been really great. It's been it's been really really sunny. Mm-hmm. So
I went out without a coat today.
Really?
Very exciting. I did wear jackets and I had to even take it off on the way.
Gosh.
To walking here because it was that warm. And then I put on this flipping monkey mask.
Yeah, I imagine how many people have put that on.
Yeah, it's kind of gross. But it was kind of it was warm in there.
Yeah,
it's not quite disturbing. That just it looking is. At you.
You could do a good prank with that monkey mask.
I could, to be fair.
You could cause some serious damage. Well, yeah, I guess we can go out and experience the sun.
Yeah,
should we do that?
Yeah, we'll let other people. We're doing a service to other people by ending our show early.
Yeah, in some ways, you know, you guys have been kept inside.
Yeah.
But now we're going to let you release you.
We could definitely talk for another 10 minutes. 100%.
Oh, for sure. We've got 100%. Loads to talk about, but we want to see it for next week. Yeah. So we'll see you guys next week.
Adios.
We could be out here together, but you have places to go. Watching the sunshine lace the gray. I don't know why you wouldn't stay. You should come south of the river, where the loving is gold. The river, this is where it all starts. I think that we could stay here forever, lie on the roof till it's dark. And when the last bus pulls away, I swear that I almost heard you say I should move south. I want to get to know. I want to get to know. The river.